We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On today's episode of the Prior Podcast, we have free agents. We're going to talk about some wide receivers and also some running backs, all on episode 172 of the Pride Podcast.
Blue Wire.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
Rodgers turns, gives to Eckler. He tries to go up and up. Oh, the Lions have got it! They took it away!
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 172 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Malcolm and Pierre. How you boys doing on this nice Wednesday night? Late one today, 10:30 recording. How you boys doing?
Woo!
I am good. I'm happy to be back. Let's talk about some free agents that fit the Lions.
Yep.
It's been a while. I mean, last week we had the episode with Jordan Reed. Phenomenal episode. One of the best in the business. So if you guys haven't checked out that episode, definitely go check out that episode. That was some draft talk. But now let's shift some gears to free agency. So last year, around this time, we did a free agency preview of essentially every position that the Lions needed. So we're going to do that same concept going into this free agency. So the free agency is coming up. It's very soon, early March. We're already in middle February, which is crazy. So we're going to do these free agent previews going into, obviously, NFL free agency. And then once free agency happens, we'll break down, you know, what the Lions did in free agency. And then you guys will get the deal, obviously. So let's start off with the two positions. We're going to do two positions today. We're going to do the running backs. We're going to do the wide receivers. We're going to each name two guys that we like and good fits for this team. And we're going to talk about the roles that they would have on this team if we were to sign them. So I'm going to kick it off to my man, Pierre. We're going to start off with some receivers. So who is one receiver out of this free agency class that you think makes a lot of sense for this Lions team?
All right. Before I get started, I didn't include like any star receivers. I just don't think the Lions are going to go after a star receiver right now just because like they're in a rebuilding phase. I think they're going to go for like guys who are like unproven or guys who kind of fit what they want to do. So I'll start with the first one, and it's Josh Reynolds. Why did I choose him? He's played with Jared Goff. He's familiar with Brad Holmes and Ray Agnew. So those guys are in the front office. And Reynolds is 6'3", 196. He had 52 receptions and 618 yards and 2 touchdowns last year. So in his career, he's been pretty solid too. He has 1,450 yards and 9 touchdowns. So, Josh Reynolds, big guy, 6'3", good red zone target. Kind of like a wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 kind of guy.
Okay. I think this is something to mention, and it seems like this is going to happen, or at least there's getting a lot of interest that this is going to happen very soon, and it makes a lot of sense. I've talked about this, obviously, in previous podcasts and previous episodes. It looks like the Lions will be franchising Kenny Galladay. So I think that's something significant, and I think that's why you're going to see the trend of this episode, why we're not necessarily maybe going after number one wide receivers in the league. We're not necessarily we're not necessarily going to name guys like Allen Robinson or maybe even a Juju Smith-Schuster. So keep an eye out for that. And I want to get into some other guys after. But Malcolm, who's one guy as a receiver that you like that is a good potential fit in free agency?
Yeah, man. So I'm going a little borderline starter. And the reason why I say that is because we need playmakers. And Jared Goff, you know, he is our new quarterback. And Jared Goff needs playmakers for him to even have some type of success in Detroit. So I think they need to make a home run and get somebody that could make a big play. Just need somebody to make a big play. Somebody that could, a yak yard guy. Just a guy that could just, an explosive guy. So the guy I'm looking at right now is Will Fuller. I think Will Fuller, even though he has some injury history, I think he has a lot to prove. And I think that he needs a fresh start. And you think he's bring him to Detroit with that 4.32 speed. And I think he can have some success with Jared Goff. I mean, Jared Goff, when he had Brandon Cooks, he lit up the league. I mean, he looked like a pretty good quarterback. So he needs a guy, he needs another burner. So if we could get Will Fuller, have him on the outside of Kenny Galladay, I think our wide receiving core will be on point.
Okay. So we haven't mentioned some guys that are free agents that were on the team previously, guys like Danny Amendola, guys like Marvin Jones. So from your guys' perspective, do you guys think it'd be smart for the Lions to inquire, maybe potentially bring one of the two back or both of them back? Or is this something that this is mutual? Let's move on. Let's get some fresh blood in here. Let's start off with Pierre. What do you think?
It seems like Marv said he's out, like doesn't want to come back, and that's just what it seems like. And I think Danny Amendola retired. I don't know if you guys saw, he hung up his cleats after that game. So he hasn't made it official yet, but even if he didn't retire, why would he want to come back to Detroit? I'd go chase a ring. I'd go to LA, or I'd go to Tampa or Buffalo or Kansas City, you know? Like, yeah. Same with Marvin Jones, kind of. He's in that stage of his career where maybe he'll chase the ring, maybe he'll chase the money. But I know that Miami has interest in him, and also he wants to play in L.A., so.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Two teams I have a vision for Marvin Jones is L.A. and Miami.
I believe he has a house in California as well, so it would make a lot of sense. And obviously had a very good connection with Matthew Stafford, the 9/11 connection. So it would make a lot of sense of him going to Los Angeles playing with Stafford, and that'd be a lot of fun. I think he would even maybe potentially take a discount to play there as well, play with Stafford and that team. So, okay. So I think we're all in agreement. Malcolm, you're in agreement as well that moving on from Marvin Jones and Danny Amendola are probably the smart moves this offseason and just don't see a connection.
100%. And Danny Amendola, if he does play, he needs to do the same thing. But with Danny Amendola, it's either between L.A. or Tampa. I think you see him going back to Brady and having some success and maybe want to get one more ring. Or go to L.A. and help Stafford get that one more ring. But I think those are his two destinations as well.
Or retirement, right?
Or retirement, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So I think we're all in agreement that moving on from Marvin Jones to Danny Amendola are probably the smart moves. And then I mentioned the Kenny Galladay franchise tag. Seems likely. I'm not for sure, but it seems like it's going to happen. But I'm going to go off something where Malcolm went off, and a guy that can make a play, a guy with some speed. And this guy's on the younger end as well, like Will Fuller. Mm. And this was a guy that when we previewed this team not too long ago, I said this guy's a mismatch nightmare. And that's Curtis Samuel. I love Curtis Samuel. One of my favorite players, one of my favorite receivers. I just love the versatility that he brings. You know, you could put him in the backfield, line him up in the backfield. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him on the outside. Love the versatility. This guy is going to make the big play for you. With Curtis Samuel, obviously only 24 years old, like I mentioned. So I think his price tag might be a little more pricey. And this is not a guy that you're committing to for only a year or two. I think this is a guy you commit to maybe at least 3 years plus, in my opinion. I think it's at least a 3-year deal at minimum with a guy like Curtis Samuel. So this is a guy that you're planning to build your offense around at that point. So Kenny Galladay right now, for going off the franchise tag, he's not necessarily a long-term option. After that, you look at this Lions wide receiver core. You don't know what you have going forward as a long-term answer. Quintez Cephas, still unproven fifth-round pick. And then the only other guy you have on your roster under contract is Geronimo Allison. And no hate against Geronimo Allison, but probably not making the team going to 2021, just being reality. Maybe he gets a shot in training camp. We'll see. But I think Curtis Samuel is a nice, you know, kickstart to revamping that wide receiving core and building a solid foundation. You know, like I mentioned, he's still pretty young. He has the versatility. I think he meshes really together in a nice offense. I think him and DeAndre Swift in the same offense would be very exciting, going together, a guy with TJ Hockenson at the tight end position. So this is a guy I kind of want to lock myself up with on, you know, starting this rebuild, starting this wide receiving core up, because we're almost essentially starting from scratch. Like we mentioned, Marvin Jones gone, Danny Amendola gone, Kenny Galladay, no long-term future. We don't know that yet. So with the new future in Detroit, this is someone I want to start off with my receiving core. He's not necessarily a number one option, but I think Curtis Samuel, he could be a sneaky wide receiver too. I mean, if not, he's a very good wide receiver three. So I think building a foundation with Curtis Samuel could be very exciting. And like I mentioned, the age, he's still very young. So it's not like we're getting a guy who's 30 years old and we're giving him a three-year deal. He's only 24 years old. He's going to be getting his first big contract. So I'm fine with playing Curtis Samuel. So even if it's a little more pricey, that's fine by me because I think he's worth it, especially with the age. So Curtis Samuel's one of my guys I'm looking out for this offseason.
Okay, and then I want to bring up something about Galladay. Also, tag and trade could be a possibility as well.
Yeah.
I think the franchise tag for wide receivers this year is $16 million. I don't know if the Lions want to commit that much, like have a $60 million cap hit this year on him. Maybe they can work out like a long-term deal or like a 3-4 year deal with him. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, even if at that point, I don't think Curtis Samuel is, you know, factoring that decision because he's a different, you know, style receiver as Kenny Galladay. So I think they'll evaluate them differently. And then you make your decision is like, do we want to build off these guys? Because then at that point, if you want to commit to Galladay and you want to commit to Samuel, your wide receiver core is almost essentially filled out. Then you could just, you know, pick out a slot guy or another outside receiver in the draft, and that doesn't necessarily have to be a day one guy. That could be maybe even a later day two or even a day three guy. That's possible. So it's depending on do they want to lock themselves up with Galladay in the long term, which I don't know that answer yet. But I think getting a guy like Curtis Samuel to start off that rebuild and start off that wide receiving core, I think that's a good start.
Yeah. Let me ask a question. If they do trade Kenny Galladay, are you comfortable with Curtis Samuel being wide receiver one?
For the year. I think they would have to draft somebody in either day one or day two.
So if we lose Kenny Galladay, we must draft a guy round one or round two. Must.
Round three, maybe. You can play round three.
I think you would have to draft. I don't think you could rely on Curtis Samuel being a wide receiver one. So
not wide receiver one, but like you know how the Colts were last year. They didn't really have a wide receiver one, but they had good wide receivers, a good tight end, kind of something like
did
that.
They have good receivers. I mean, like T.Y. Hilton was like whatever. He turned Pittman, up a bit towards the end of the year.
Pittman was also solid over the end of the year, and they had those two tight ends.
Zach Pascal. They had
those backs.
Like I mean, well, it's like
you know what I mean. Like, but they were solid on offense. That's all I'm saying.
T-Y?
Malcolm, you guys can't see it. Malcolm is doing T-Y's dance.
The T-Y?
And so, yeah, but I don't know. That's not necessarily thing. I want someone as my wide receiver one. I think it would be fine for the Lions to draft the receiver in day one or day two at that point. But I think franchising Galladay and then signing a receiver and then maybe getting one day three, I think that might be my favorite scenario out of the three.
Yeah. I would love having Curtis Samuels as a that slot receiver.
Dude, how fun would that be?
I'll love it a lot. I would like that better than him being an outside. I mean, for some reason, just for me, smaller receivers. I'm not a big fan of smaller receivers on the outside. That's just me.
Speed. I just want speed, bro. We haven't had speed on this team. Like Marvin Hall was that, but he was just kind of like a nine guy. Like he just run nine routes. I want a guy who could like run routes with speed. And so we haven't had that in Detroit.
Yeah, I want to see a guy like I want to see guys get burnt. That's
Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, that's like Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's a dude you could throw a screen pass. He takes it all the way. That's Curtis Samuel's game. Like, I mean, he is the definition of a burner. I love him. I mean, he's a mismatch nightmare. Don't want to get on him too far because he's Ohio State guy, so I don't want to keep buttering him up. So let's go into wide receiver two. Pierre, who's another guy you like also?
One more thing that I want to bring up with Kenny Galladay also, his skill set doesn't really fit with Goff, so it also depends if they want to commit to Goff long-term or not. Because Kenny's more kind of like a north and south guy. Goff is kind of more like a yak type of quarterback. So we'll see also with Galladay in that. Now, my second guy, some of you will like it, some of you won't. It's D.D. Westbrook. Tyler doesn't like it.
Tyler likes it.
And here's why. He probably will cost like maybe like $2-3 million. Won't cost much. He's coming off a torn ACL, tore his ACL last year. He has potential, right? He's 6 feet, 178 pounds, 4.34 speed, primarily a slot receiver. And he's kind of like that yak guy. He'll provide like ES speed. What do you have? So in his career, he had 160 catches, 1720 yards, and 14 touchdowns. Not bad. He'll be cheap, you know, primarily a slot receiver, maybe wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. I'm not saying this guy's going to come in and be a star, but.
Yeah, he did.
What?
I said, yeah, you did.
No, I did. I was like, what?
Okay, no, well, but if you put it in that perspective, I don't mind at that point. If he's taking Geronimo Allison's spot on the roster, by all means, that's fine by me.
Yeah, and he's still kind of like relatively young. He's 27 years old. He's not like old. You never know. Sometimes guys need to change the scenery. You know, he hasn't really played with the best quarterbacks in Jacksonville. Who has he played with? Blake Bortles.
The Minshew Mania.
And I mean, like, he hasn't really like had like a good
Nick Foles.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, Goff is Goff, but maybe he'll do well with Goff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I like it.
I mean, if it's like a lower end guy, I don't mind. But if we're
Do you trust him to be your wide receiver too?
Hell no.
No.
I don't even trust him as 3.
No, he's primarily a star receiver. He's like, he's just like a very cheap option. And I found it interesting because also his defensive coordinator, Jacksonville Jaguars coordinator, is the Lions D-line coach. Damn it, what's his name? Todd Wash? Is that right?
Wash, yeah.
Yeah, so there is some familiarity on the staff, so he has some intel on him. We'll see what happens.
We also have a former Jaguars reporter or announcer, Mark Burnell. So if we're going anything more, I don't think D.D. Westbrook's more than a high end, but a backup wide receiver.
Backup with potential who could like start in the slot.
Okay. If you put it in that perspective, I don't mind at that point. But if we're getting to wide receiver 2, big hell no. If we're going to wide receiver 3, I think that's still a big hell no. But we get into wide receiver 4, we get into wide receiver 5. That's fine with me. But Malcolm, who's another receiver you like in this free agency market?
I'm going to stay on that track of wide receiver 2. This is a guy who actually wanted during the draft when he was available in the draft. I mean, we couldn't get him because he was drafted early. But I wanted to pair him up with Calvin Johnson back in 2014 when he was drafted. And I think he's in a situation right now in Kansas City that he's going to be the odd man out because I think they got to pay damn near everybody, and I don't think they're going to keep him. So I think he is going to walk. This guy is Sammy Watkins. I think Sammy Watkins, he's still young. I believe he's 26 years old, 26 or 27, I believe, 26, 27. Yeah, he's 27. So he's still young. I mean, he still have a lot of football in him, and he knows how to win. So I think he'll be a good veteran, even though he's still young, he'll be a good veteran in the locker room. And be a good complimentary receiver for Kenny Galladay. So, yeah, I'm going Sammy Watkins to see what he can do.
Didn't he also play with L.A.? He played in L.A., didn't he? He played with Goff, or am I tripping?
Did
he play in L.A.?
I think he did.
Yeah, he did, because that was the rumor going back in 2018 or 2017 where it was going to be Darius Slay for Sammy Watkins. It was a
2017. He played for the Los Angeles Rams.
It was an absurd trade proposal, but I do remember that. It was coming from the Rams and Lions front. I don't know how true that was, but that was like some absurd rumor floating around. But that's not a bad option. I kind of like
Sammy. And who did the Lions have in their front office? Ray Agnew. Ray Agnew was the director of pro scouting or something like that. Yeah. So he had a big role in that trade. And there you go. You connect the dots. I like that, Malcolm.
Let's go.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a solid option right there. I like Sammy Watkins. And he could be wide receiver, too, like you mentioned. So, that's a question I got for you now. Do you look at Sammy Watkins as someone you want to commit to long-term, though, or is this like a 1 or 2 year deal?
1 or 2 year deal. Probably like maybe like a 1 or 2 year deal.
Okay, so I want to get this question to both of you guys now. From both the guys you mentioned, are either the guys you mentioned long-term options, or are these guys 1 or 2 years options?
Reynolds maybe is like 1 to 3 year deal, just depends kind of like what how he is. And then Westbrook is just like a 1 year prove it deal to me.
Okay. And then
With me, I think Will Fuller is a more of a prove it deal as well. I mean, even though he had 800 yards last year, he has so much potential. I think he could do a lot more, you know? So, I mean, I don't know.
Okay. And he's been hurt a lot, too.
So. Exactly. That's the thing. Can he stay on the field? Can he and play the drugs, a whole year?
The steroids.
Yeah, he had the drug issue this year where he was suspended, too. So
yeah.
Well, PEDs, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, but
yeah.
Some performance, something that made him, got him suspended.
He probably was tired of getting injured. That's probably his problem. He said, fuck this. He said, no more injuries, dog. Let me just shoot me with this shit. No more injuries, bro.
Okay, so all the guys you guys have mentioned are, let's prove it. You guys are here for a year or two, and then we'll make our decision after the 2021 season. I think I'm the only person so far to have been able to say I've committed to a guy, and that's Curtis Samuel.
Because Curtis Samuel is 20, he's young.
24, yeah. I was willing to commit to
him. That's why. I think these guys that I mentioned are just guys that help golf.
No,
I think right now, I think Holmes, and then there's something I believe. I think Holmes really, really still believes in golf. I mean, he's the one that banged the table for the guy. So I think he still has a strong belief in golf. I think he, just like, what's it called? Just like, Jordan Reed said that he could try to do whatever he could to, you know, try to prove his point that, you know, this was his guy and this guy is successful.
There was actually like a rumor, you know, when they signed off to a long-term deal, there was some people that didn't agree to it in the front office. And one of those guys is Ray Agnew. Ray Agnew is with the Lions as well. So it's kind of like interesting. And John Dorsey is like the quarterback guru, like of that staff, I guess you could say. Yeah. He's drafted Mahomes, got Mayfield. So
I don't think
it'll be interesting.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything long-term commit, but they're going to, I mean,
think it's long-term at all. Yeah. I don't think it's long-term at all, but I think they're trying to have golf have success next year. I think they want golf to have success next year.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, you can't just give this guy nobody. You can't just give this guy, I mean, I'm not trying to throw shade against Jaron Wilson. Yeah, it is definitely shady against Jaron Wilson.
Or Cephas, bro. Like, what the hell did Cephas do last year?
You can't just throw Jaron Wilson, Tom Kennedy, and Quintez Cephas. Like, you just can't do that.
No, you cannot.
So,
Victor Bolden.
Okay, I feel bad. I'm not trying to call out these practice squad guys. But, I mean, like, you just can't do that. You can't throw out Victor Bolden out there to be wide receiver two. Like, it's just, that can't happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so, I'm tying guys with golf, pretty much.
Yeah, me too. That's what I did.
That's
too.
What I'm doing. I'm tying guys with golf. So if it doesn't work out with golf, these guys could go along with them.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I agree with that. So I got another commitment, though, that I'm willing to give a commitment to for, you know, a 3-year, 4-year deal. I'm going to give you another one. So I don't care who the quarterback is. I think this guy is a good piece, and he really proved it to me this year where I'm like, maybe I could commit to this guy. And this is Corey Davis. He's also a hometown boy from Western Michigan. Yep. So 26 years old, another little younger option, not as young as Curtis Samuel. He's 26. I think he, you know, he's shown potential. He could be a high-end wide receiver too, and maybe even, this is a stretch, but maybe even a low-end wide receiver one. I don't think he is that, and I don't think he'll ever be that. But I think at the very best, he could be a very high-end wide receiver too, and I think that's very realistic. And I think if Detroit commits to him, I think you can get that with Corey Davis. I think he had a very impressive year alongside with A.J. Brown. I'm interested, man. I'm interested in Corey Davis. He has all the tools to be a very good very good receiver. I liked him coming out of Western Michigan as well. I just love the skill traits he brought. You know, he's a good route runner. He's got some solid speed. You know, he's a bigger 6'3 receiver. So I like Corey Davis, man. You know, he just is a today's wide receiver. I think he might be getting paid a little bit more, kind of like in that Curtis Samuel range as well, maybe getting that 13 to 16 range, anywhere around that range per year. So it is a commitment, definitely, and you're going to be committing, I think, decent years to him. I don't think it's a prove-it deal with Corey Davis as well. So I'm willing to give a commitment deal to both these guys. I think these are guys that you could build a franchise around and kind of get that wide receiver core get going, and you know, you're rebuilding that wide receiver core as well, and I think either one of those options are good starts, that receiving core. And I think both those guys are receivers too. And, you know, they got very good potential to be very nice, you know, pieces to work around the offense for whoever the quarterback is. So I like both those guys a lot, and I'm willing to commit to both of them.
I kind of disagree with you just a little bit.
Okay, where's that?
I think that he could be absolutely a wide receiver one. I think I kind of compare him to, you know, when Golden Tate was in he was with the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I kind of compare him the same way, because Golden Tate was with the Seahawks. All he did, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And he didn't get as much targets. Now you put Corey Davis on the offense where they're passing majority of the time. I think he's gonna have a hell of a year. Easily a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know the philosophy of Detroit's offense necessarily. Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure about. I'm not committing that he'll be a number one in Detroit. Yeah, but yeah. If he goes, example, if he was if he was in like the put Corey Davis on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, I don't think Tyreek Hill, but
I don't think he'll be Tyreek Hill, but I think he'll be a 1,000-yard. I think he'll be a 1,000-yard receiver.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think he's very impressive. I like him a lot. So, yeah, I think he's an interesting fit. It's a guy I'm willing to commit to. He's still on the younger side too, so I think he's a fine player to commit to as well for the 3-4 year, you know, time period as well. So I don't care who the quarterback is as well, because I think he's a perfect fit for any quarterback. I think any quarterback would like him.
Reminds me of Corey Davis. Actually, reminds me of, you remember when Marvin Jones, Detroit paid Marvin Jones?
I was kind of thinking the same thing.
High end wide receiver 2, low end wide receiver 1. And like could step in wide receiver 1 if there's an injury. That's kind of like how I see it, Corey Davis. And I like Corey Davis a lot as well. So
I was kind of thinking
same thing. Yeah.
Yep.
So I want to give a shout out. This is so off topic, off Lions talk, but this is something that me and Peter have talked about. And we're going to get this going. I'm going to give a shout out. I'm going to give a shout out to Scott Bentley. This guy's a big part of Tiger Twitter. He has his own podcast. So go check out his own podcast. But he started a big trend in the offseason of baseball. It was David Dahl to Detroit, and it was just the hashtag was Dahl to Detroit. And Malcolm, not knowing two shits about baseball,
I don't know shit about baseball.
He goes, "Why are people saying we should commit to Joe Dahl long term?
Why are we doing this, guys? He's already on the goddamn team."
So Malcolm's like, "Why is Dahl to Detroit trending in Detroit?" And I'm like, "Dude, we're not talking about Joe Dahl right now. We're talking about David Dahl." So me and Peter thought this could be a good idea because Corey Davis kind of reminds me of the David Dahl of football. I think he's a little better player if we're comparing the sports. I think Corey Davis is a little better. So me and Peter are going to try to get this hashtag going.
Let's not do
hashtag
this.
Hashtag Corey Davis to Detroit.
Malcolm, can you tweet it from the podcast page and then Tyler and I will retweet it?
Absolutely not. I would not take part of this.
I'll sign in it then. I'll do it myself.
Bro, I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look at the top one in the hashtag. I'm going to look up on Twitter.
We're going to get this like trending in Detroit. We're going to get this trending in Detroit. Hashtag Corey Davis to Detroit.
Mr. Hart. Mr. Hart's the number one in the hashtag.
Let's not do this, guys.
Malcolm, we have to do it from the podcast. We have to do it from the podcast page.
I am not taking part of this.
I'm going to do it.
Corey Davis to Detroit. We're going to march that down.
Once we sign out, I'm going to tweet it. And all you guys should tweet it. And we're going to get this thing trending.
I mean, we're Detroit teams. We have to get trending solid players. We don't get superstars here. We get solid players in Detroit.
Can we just do a superstar and hope it happens?
No, we can't. No, we have to be realistic here. Corey Davis to Detroit. Hashtag Corey Davis Detroit. We're going to go on this off.
We're going to get this thing trendy, guys. All of our listeners, too. Retweet our tweets. Tweet it out. Hashtag Corey Davis to Detroit.
When we get closer to the offseason, we're going to do this. When we get closer to the free agency, Corey Davis Detroit is happening. Yes. Mark my word. Corey Davis Detroit. I don't know if he's going to come here, but the hashtag is going to happen.
We're going to get this thing trending. We've been trending before. We've got other things trending. The Pride Pod is. We're going to try to get this thing trending.
Hashtag Corey Davis to the
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right. Okay. I think that is a perfect swing over transition to our next topic. And we're going to talk about some running backs now. We love running backs. Malcolm loves running backs. That's his favorite position of all. So let's talk about the bruisers, the running backs. I sound like Gus Johnson on Madden 12. Oh, my goodness. All right, guys. Pierre, give me a running back you like to compliment DeAndre Swift and maybe Kerryon Johnson, or maybe this is a discussion during this episode. So I'm opening it.
All right. Anthony Lynn likes to have two backs who could receive the ball at the same time. And Jamal Williams, I'm going with Jamal Williams as the first guy. First of all, he's a power back. He complements Swift well. Swift is more kind of like a shiftier. This guy is more like a power guy. He's 6 feet, 213 pounds. He ran a 4.59. This year with the Packers, he had 119 carries for 505 yards. He also had 31 receptions and a touchdown. In his career, he's averaged 4 yards a carry. And he has 122 receptions. So overall, this guy is like a true number two back, in my opinion. He could give Swift that break when he needs it. If Swift is hurt, he could come in. We saw him, like, with Aaron Jones out, he did fine when they needed him. He wasn't Aaron Jones, but he's pretty reliable. So I like him.
I love that fit. I think that was one of the free agents I was looking at, that running back position. I love that fit so much. I think it makes so much sense. He complements Swift very well. I love it. I love it. Malcolm, who's a running back you like for this situation?
I'm going with a guy who has a lot of speed, and he's actually coming off a down year, so I think this is a perfect opportunity to get him for dirt cheap. And this guy is Matt Breida. What can I say about him? I mean, besides him having a down year in Miami, if you look at the years that he has success is when he's been in that running back by committee, and you pair him up with Swift and just have him come in and make some big plays from here and there, he can have a hell of a season. So that's a guy who I'm going with is Matt Breida.
Okay. I mean, like Pierce said, Anthony Lynn has two packs catching running backs out of the backfield.
Put them two in the back, that's going to be scary as hell. That'd be fun.
That's some speed in the backfield.
And those are some mismatches for linebackers and safeties for sure. Yep. Okay. I'm going to go with the guy that I think complements as a running back too perfectly, and that's Marlon Mack. He tore his ACL this year, week one, I believe. But before that, he was looking like he was going to be the guy in Indy. Obviously, they drafted Jonathan Taylor, and it was probably going to be one of those transitions where Marlon Mack was going to be the starter for the first couple of weeks, and then Jonathan Taylor slowly takes that spot. But obviously, Marlon Mack got hurt, so Jonathan Taylor got that spot much quicker than expected. I think Marlon Mack is the perfect running back, too. Like, I think he just, you know, is a guy that doesn't necessarily need a bunch of carries in a game, but when needed, he could be a running back one. If Swift were to miss a game or Swift needed some snaps off, that's Marlon Mack. Like, he would be completely fine in a role, I think, getting 5 snaps a game, getting 4 snaps a game, or running the ball 5 times. I think he'd be completely fine with that role. And if we needed a role like with him, kind of like Jamal Williams, maybe to run the ball 20 times, but run the ball 25 times because Swift is inactive, I think he could do that as well. And again, you know, when you think of Marlon Mack, you're probably thinking like, oh, he's 27, 28 years old, but he's only 24 years old. He's still on the younger end of the spectrum. So this is a guy I'm interested in. This is a guy I want to get in my room. I think, you know, he's a good pass blocker as well. So on passing situations, I would like him in the game as well. But I want to go on something more interesting. And this is the guy we already have, and that's DeAndre Swift. Deuce Daly, our new running backs coach from the Philadelphia Eagles. So he had a press conference, his first press conference in Detroit. And he said something very interesting, and I agree with this. He said, I think DeAndre Swift could be a 3-down back. And I agree 100% with that statement. I think Swift has proved he could be a 3-down back. And I think getting a true end running back, too, where a guy that's not going to command a bunch of snaps and doesn't need a bunch of snaps to get going, I think that's exactly what we need right now. Because I'm not definitely confident in the guys we got right now. I'm not definitely confident in Kerryon Johnson to be that guy right now. So I'm looking at some guys in the free agency market that could be that guy, that take four carries in a game and they'd be completely fine. They could still get the job done. I think Marlon Mack fits that criteria very well, and that's a guy I'm very interested in. And seeing his age, I mean, I just, like, I don't know. I automatically thought of Marlon Mack. I just thought he was, like, 27. I just feel like he's been in the league forever, but he's only 24 years old still. So definitely a guy I want in my running back room. Pierre, who's another running back that you think complements our running back room very well?
All right, here's another guy who could catch and run. Not as good, more like a running back two, running back three. Malcolm Brown. Once again, he has those ties to the Rams with Ray Agnew and Brad Holmes. And also played with Goff. He's 5'11", 222 pounds, 4.62 speed. He had 4.1 yards a carry, and he also had 23 receptions this year. So in his career overall, he averages 4 yards a carry, and he's had 43 receptions for 327 yards in his career. So he's a back who do it all, more like an RB2, RB3 type of guy. Shouldn't cost that much at all, maybe like $2 million, $1.5 million, maybe a little more, a little less, somewhere around there. So that's Malcolm Brown.
Not that this matters anymore, but it's something that I think we should mention, I guess, that Malcolm Brown actually got an offer sheet by the Lions back in 2019. Different regime, but the Lions are actually very close to locking up Malcolm Brown. He was a restricted free agent at the time. The Lions offered him, I believe, $3 million. I think it was 3.2, and the Rams matched the offer. So, as you know, if you guys don't know how restricted free agents work, if he could get an offer sheet by any team, but the team that originally owned him has 3 days to match that offer, and that's exactly what the Rams did. So I think something to mention there, that's where my point is coming to. The Rams matched the offer the Lions gave him, so they thought he was worth the $3 million price tag 2 years ago, so you know maybe they think differently of him. But I don't know. I think that's something to mention. You've mentioned Ray Agnew a million times. You've mentioned Brad Holmes a million times. It's the Rams connection, so I think it's something to mention as well.
But also, some familiarity with Jared Goff. Have Goff, like, some comfort, you know, give him some comfort. Have some guys he's familiar with, like Reynolds and Brown. So
makes sense. All right. Malcolm, who do you got here?
I'm going to stick with the whole category of running backs who have connections with Detroit. And I'm going to go with the guy who is another guy who's actually coming off pretty down here. But this guy was on IR. The guy who's coming off of IR is Corey Clement. And I think he has connections with our new running back coach, Deuce Staley. So I think he could be a good option, and he could come in for cheap, you know. And he's a guy who, just like you said, could, you know, maybe give him 3-4 carries, you know, and maybe have production, you know. So I could see Corey Clement coming in Detroit.
So this is deeper, and I want to get to where you're going, because you're not bringing Corey Clement to be running back too. You're just not doing that. At least I don't think you are. So you are bringing a different perspective in.
Yes.
And what's that different perspective?
It's actually us actually keeping Kerryon Johnson.
Okay.
Keeping Kerryon Johnson around. And if they do that, I think Kerryon Johnson could have a deeper role than he had last year. And being that blocker and also getting a good amount of carries, maybe 3 or 4 carries a game, and have some production. I think Kerryon Johnson, I don't think he's done. I mean, I think for some reason, I'm not sure if the offense was just going a different way and it just didn't fit him. I'm not sure what happened, but I still believe Kerryon Johnson can still be a good back. I still believe in the guy. And I think he's going to still be on the team next year. So that's why I have us picking Corey Clement to be like a backup guy for like a Kerryon Johnson.
See, like both the guys you mentioned are, I think, running back threes. I think Breida could be a running back three, and I think Corey Clement is definitely a running back three. I don't think that's even a question. I think Breida can make an argument that maybe he's potentially RB2, and he can compete with the guy like Kerryon Johnson. But you went more of a route, I think, of RB3s.
Yeah.
I went more of a route, and I think Peter went more of a route as well, with a guy like Jamal Williams as a true RB2 that would take Kerryon Johnson's spot, in my opinion. That's me personally speaking. So, and the guy I'm going to bring up next is Mike Davis. I think Mike Davis is another guy that complements Swift really well, and this kind of goes along the same category as Marlon Mack, a guy that would be okay getting, you know, 2 to 5 carries a game, and he would be okay with that, and it wouldn't affect his game. But he's also a guy who could get 20 to 25 carries in a game, and he'd be completely fine. We saw it this year with Carolina. McCaffrey was obviously dealing with a bunch of injuries this year, and he only played in 3 games. And Mike Davis and that Carolina offense, they didn't really lose much of a step in that offense. So he's a guy I'm confident in, and a guy we've seen almost like Jamal Williams, and a guy like Marlon Mack, who, if we need him to start, I'm confident he could start for me a couple games, or I'm confident he could start for me even like a significant amount of games. So Mike Davis, I think, makes sense. And I'm going the route of a running back too, which is because I don't have much trust in the room that we have right now. So Kerryon Johnson, I don't have that trust where he can get an upgraded role and be a running back too. If Swift were to miss a game and we had to count on one of the guys in our room, I'm sorry, I can't count on Kerryon Johnson getting 20 to 25 carries in a game or even 18 carries a game. I can't do it. It just, I thought I could last year, but I've seen enough from Kerryon to not be confident in giving him a role like that to be RB2. If he's an RB3, that's fine. You know, extent of the offensive line, that's fine. On passing situation, that's fine by me. But when we get into the categories of him potentially needing to get like 15 plus carries in a game, I don't think I could rely on Kerryon Johnson to be that guy anymore. So I think it's a little too rich for a guy like Kerryon Johnson to be an RB2. So that's why I'm going the route of guys that I think are upgraded at the RB2 spot and guys that I'm willing to pay a little bit more so we can get a for sure RB2, guys like Mike Davis, guys like Marlon Mack, guys like Jamal Williams. I think those guys make a lot of sense, and guys that we could throw them in the offense that won't take them, you know, much snaps, but could still be playmakers when needed, when called upon. So I don't know. I'm just not sold on Kerryon Johnson being in that role.
Yeah. Wow. So do you believe that he is a
bust?
You said it, not me.
I mean, for where we for where we drafted him, yeah. I mean, it hasn't panned out. I'm not gonna act like I didn't like the pick at the time. I'm not gonna say this was, you know, I'm not gonna act like, I don't know. I'm not gonna be one of those people that said, "Oh, look, we could have got this guy." This, no, I'm not gonna be that guy because I like the Kerryon Johnson pick at the time. But yeah, I mean, I think we
you
are in that.
You done messed up. Yeah, you done messed up. Yeah,
we're at that time. I think
you done messed up. It's all right. Kerryon Johnson listening to this right now, and you're just gonna motivate him.
Well, by all means. I still don't see it. I still don't see it.
No, it's all good. It's all good, man.
I don't know. I mean, it's not a shot to him. I mean, if he does it, he does it. But I don't see that happening. I would love to be, you know, I'd love to bring this memory back. Kerryon Johnson could be RB2, and we could bring back, and you guys could bring back the, you know, the Malcolm's animation music of, like, the flashbacks. Like, I'm fine with that. If it happens, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's more likely not to happen than to happen. So yeah. I get you.
What about you, Pierre?
Like, Kerryon was drafted to be RB1. I don't think he's an RB1. Is he a bust? We'll see after this year, you know? I don't know what he's going to do this year. We'll see after this year. But he just hasn't lived up to his draft status. They traded up to get him. He hasn't lived up to it. And then I want to bring up something with Corey Clement. He's also a returner. So if the Lions lose Jamal Agnew because he's also a free agent, Corey Clement could bring that special teams value as well. So, and he also, Dave Phipp, Eagles special teams coordinator, right now is a Lions special teams coordinator, so there's some more connections for you.
Look at Pierre connecting the dots, man.
Yep.
I was
just thinking about it. I was like, wait, I like that. Malcolm, Corey Clement.
I'm not even necessarily against Corey Clement, but I think if you bring in Corey Clement,
you can bring somebody else?
Yeah, I think that's just keying the doors, that Kerryon's out the doors at that point.
And another thing is the Rams have always drafted a back like in the second or first, second, third round. Todd Gurley, Daryl Henderson. Last year they took
Cam Akers.
But they needed backs. I don't think they're going to go that.
You
think
the Cleveland Browns, like Cleveland Browns, or John Dorsey's also always drafted backs. Guys like Kareem Hunt, he took in the third round. He took Nick Chubb early in the second, was it? Second round?
Yeah. Yep.
It was, I think it was pick 33 or 34, something like that. So this staff, like all the guys in the front office, they've drafted backs pretty early. Whether it's day two or like day three, they've also brung in some undrafted guys as well. So
I hope we do not draft it back in day two.
I'm just saying it's very possible. You look at the team's history, Daryl Henderson, Cam Akers, second, third round pick. They took Todd Gurley in the first, you know, and then Dorsey, he took Kareem Hunt the third, Nick Chubb in the second. You just have to look at everything, you know?
I don't know. Where do you stand on, you know, Kerryon Johnson, though, being a running back, too, do you think that's too rich for him as well, Pierre?
Right now, yeah, because he hasn't proven he can stay healthy. Every time, like, he does get the load, he gets hurt.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I don't think the Lions trust him as a running back, too. They shouldn't. He gets both of his knees. He's hurt both of his knees. He's had multiple injury issues even before the NFL, so it's hard to trust him as running back, too.
I agree, man. I don't know. I just
if he does it, hey, bro, go for it. Like, I'd love to see Kerryon succeed because I loved it. I loved the pick. I liked him when he was coming out a lot. I hope he succeeds. You know, like, Kerryon's a fun guy. He works hard. Just injuries suck.
Yeah, I think he's an injury away from being out the door. I think that's what would get him out the door. But if he stays healthy and limited carries, I mean, shit, we'll see.
His pass protection is going to help him, obviously, down the line. So, like, I don't think he's out the league. I don't think he's that. But as far as running back two, I think it's just too rich. And I can still see him being on this team, being maybe a potential running back three. But I don't see where the Lions give an upgrade position and say, hey, Kerryon, we're going to give you a bigger load now. You're going to be RB2. I just don't see that happening. I think, if anything, if he were to stay on the team, it'd be almost identically the same role that he already had previously, even with Matt Patricia, and that's just being extended the offensive line in passing situations.
I don't know.
Now, would you guys bring AP back if he said he wants to come back?
Hell no!
All right, good. Me too. Damn.
No. We don't need AP back.
We don't need veterans.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of going like the old guy route, like CJ Anderson, AP. There was another guy I'm forgetting.
LeGarrette Blount.
Watch us bring in Todd Gurley. Just watch. You'll see.
Just no backs over the age of 28.
Gurley's knees are shot, bro.
I know.
He has the arthritis.
Yeah, that's tough.
Just watch. Just watch. They're going to bring him in.
I mean, the connections, bro. It's kind of scary.
The connections there. Exactly. The connections, right? Yeah. Jared Goff.
If they want to bring in the veterans. Well, he won't come here, actually. What am I saying? I was going to say Shady. He played Deuce Daly, but I don't see that happening. Taylor's like, Shady, no way. McCoy? No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm just messing with you guys. Trying to see Tyler's reaction. Man. You guys should have seen Tyler's reaction. He's like, are you high? Like, he's like, bro, what are you saying?
He's like gagging, but it was, oh, man.
My job is to have the words and have words for everything that you're like, I'm expected to have a word for everything you guys say. I don't have a word for that.
Yeah, it was a joke. It wasn't like being serious.
I mean, he has two rings, right?
Yeah, he should probably run him back. Or he might retire, bro.
He has two rings, right?
Yeah. Sure. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Does he have two rings?
Yeah, he won.
Tampa, I know he won a ring with Tampa.
And the year before with Kansas City. Two rings.
Oh, shit. That man's a champ.
So if he comes here, maybe he'll get his third ring? I'm joking.
Tyler's getting a headache.
You guys are bringing the LeGarrette Blount philosophy in this now.
No, hey, you guys see the meme of Tom Brady? The Tom Brady meme?
Oh, yeah, there's a Tom Brady meme going around. Like, to prove he is the GOAT, he has to win with the Lions. that's the only way you can prove he's the GOAT.
Shoot. I'm down. I'm down for him to try that.
Bring it running back here.
Him, Gronk, yeah, everybody come. Hell yeah.
But we were supposed to get Gronk as well.
I'm happy that trade didn't go through. Oh my gosh. Well.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
They traded their first round pick for a third goal tight end. Okay.
Oh man, okay.
Bobby.
Okay. I mean, we're bringing Brady to the Lions. We're bringing Gronk to the Lions. We're talking about LeSean McCoy. We're talking about Bob Quinn.
All right, this is Bobby. Let's wrap this up.
This is a wrap. Oh my God. I mean, I was in a good mood. I was in high energy. I was honestly 11:30 at night. I was in high energy. I was excited. But then we talked about LeSean McCoy in the Honolulu Blue. Bobby. We talked about Brady. I'm like, what are we doing here? All right.
We're joking. We're having fun.
I was having fun until LeSean McCoy. But with that being said, hope you guys all enjoyed this episode of the Pride Podcast, where we broke down some wide receivers and some running backs that could be some fits for the Detroit Lions. We're going to do some other positions going forward. But with that being said, if you guys could leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast network you were listening to. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. Hope you're all staying safe during this time. And I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm. I'm out. Peace.